Hey, Jason, can you bring that down just a little real quick? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. First and foremost, you can keep playing. Daniel Flitz is right over here. Daniel, put your hand in here. A lot of us here at Lakeview have known the Flitz family for a very, very long time. And this young man, a lot of us have been involved in watching him grow. He grew up here at Lakeview. He has stayed in Lakeview. And he is getting ready to go into the Army. Tomorrow? Tuesday. He's getting ready to join the Army. I just want to say, as a church, and being fortunate enough and blessed enough to watch you grow up, I just want to say we are so proud of you and the choices that you've made. Well done. And I would ask, especially those who have been involved in Daniel's lives and those who love the Flitz family, when we have the altar call, if you would come down here and pray over Daniel and what he's getting ready to enter in, Brian, Derek, Micah, and anybody else who has been involved with Daniel's life, just to pray for him and to pray for his safety. I really would appreciate that. Daniel, we're very proud of you. I just want you to know that right off the bat. Yeah, you can clap. It's fine, please. My daughter is on a trip out west right now, Caroline. And she and I have a very special bond in the fact that I did the exact same trip when I was 15 years old. And I told her as she was going on the trip that she's going to see some amazing things while she's out there. She's going to go to the Alamo. She's actually in Disneyland this morning. She's traveling all over the place. But I told her especially about the Grand Canyon. And there's a special moment in the morning where they drive in early, early in the morning, and they're sitting there right on the edge of the Grand Canyon as the sun rises. Now, I've been fortunate enough to see this event twice in my life. Caden McLemore is also there, too. It's kind of like God turns on a water fountain, and you see the sunlight just kind of spill through the caverns, and it's kind of just like a great big light waterfall. And then the canyon begins to expose itself, and you're able to see all the little nooks and crannies and everything that goes along with it. And she called, and she said, it was the most amazing thing. You were absolutely right. And then she said this. She said, if you don't believe there's a God, it's that moment that there's no way to deny that he's there. And I was traveling a lot last week, and that really hit me that all these years since that time, I've always known God's there, but I'm so spoiled and wrapped up in my ways and the bills and the work and the things that we always have to do that I don't notice something as simple and beautiful as sunlight pouring in through the mountains or through a window. I don't notice the hills when I'm driving. I don't notice the cows sitting over there. I don't notice how much the corn has grown since April. And I just, in my heart, I just started to ache a little bit. And I was driving home from Pennsylvania. I had brought Sam home from camp. And driving home, and I, some odd reason, just was really focused on the color and the beauty of the mountains and the beauty of the hills and all that was coming in. And I realized that as much as I praise God for all he's done in my life, I haven't really been thankful for everything else around this life that is kin. And I dare say we're all spoiled in that aspect, that we don't take time to look around. We're so busy with making money or going on vacation or doing so many different things that are so self-centered, and yet we're so grateful for, but at the same time, we don't take a minute to understand his beauty. This song we're getting ready to play for you is called So Will I, 100 billion times. And there's lines in it where it says, if the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. So my challenge to you this week is when you're out doing something simple, you're driving, you're going to the grocery store, you're going to work, take a moment and understand the beauty and the gift that God has given you, not just in your survival, but just in the world around you. He's painted this amazing tapestry that he should be glorified for. There is so much more going on for your life than just you. Look around and be grateful for what's around. And then you'll notice how your heart starts to lighten up even more. And you begin to experience God's joy even more. Heavenly Father, thank you for that message, for the music, for the mountains, for the creatures you've created. Thank you for everything that surrounds us. And I pray, Father, that you just open our eyes to everything around us, to everything that we see but we don't see, for everything you provide that we may not fully appreciate. We are so grateful for the blessings you've bestowed upon this church and for each of us. We so don't deserve it, but we know you love us more than anything, and for that we are truly and humbly grateful. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Good morning. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. Finishing up our series on Jesus is the only way. And that pertains to more than simply the fact that he is the only way to salvation, but also in our lives, when we live daily, Jesus' way is the only way. The things that he wants us to do and say and think and everything, we need to do it according to his teachings, according to his character, according to the way he patterned those things for us. In Colossians chapter 1, if you found your place, if you'll stand with me, we'll read several verses. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. I want you to notice that. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Father, thank you for this word that comes from you. We know that it is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and we know that it is our direction for life. And if we fail to follow your word, any jot or tittle, if we leave any part out, then we're not pleasing you. Help us to continue to learn your precepts and then apply them to our lives. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The central truth of the message today is we are to pray for one another that God will fill all believers with the knowledge of his will so that they will gain insight into his purposes and understanding of spiritual things. As a result, we all should walk in a manner that is pleasing to God. Think about this scene. It's dark. It's cold. You've been thrown into a prison, and you don't know when you're going to get out or when you'll even eat your next meal. You bow your head to pray. What will you pray for? Safety? Deliverance? A decent meal? If you are the Apostle Paul, you pray for something far different. You talk to God about a group of people whom you've never seen. Colossians chapter 1 gives us a record of Paul's prison prayer for the people at the church in Colossae. His words help us see how important intercessory prayer should be, even when we have our own troubles. Paul gave thanks and prayed for his fellow believers always. Not just when he felt good. Not just when he was warm and well fed. But always. Many times we find excuses for not praying. But we should not allow excuses to keep us from the task. It's been said, the best way to influence people for God is to intercede with God for people. In my years of being a pastor, I have pastored many kinds of people. I have pastored the ones who were faithful and humble, and they sought God, and they were just really on fire for Jesus, winning people to Christ, making sure the waters of baptism would be stirred in the church, giving food, money, whatever was needed to help someone else. Then on the other hand, there was that small group of people that I would always have in my flock. That small group, sometimes just a few individuals who thought they should be running the church. They should be controlling God's program. They should have their way because their way was the best way. I learned a long time ago not to go to war with those people. I learned a long time ago to pray for them. And say, Lord, you know your will for this church. Let your will be done. Speak to anyone in this church who has some other idea from your perfect will. Speak to them, influence them to change. And Lord, if they don't change, stop them. I have found that method very successful over the years. I have seen people turn around. People who, they really were not for the unity of the body of Christ. And I've seen them turn around. They fully repented. And they became the body, part of the body of Christ. And they became some of the greatest soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ that I've ever seen. You pray for them. If there's any other need, just like in my father's life, my earthly father, I was saved in 1972. He was not saved until 1982. For 10 years, I prayed for him. My wife prayed for him. Countless hundreds of other people prayed for him to be saved. I didn't go and harangue him and fuss at him because he wasn't saved. I just kept loving him because he was my daddy. But he knew where I stood. He knew that I wanted him to come to know Christ. But I didn't talk to him every day about that. Not even every week. But what I did do was pray for him. In April 1982, my dad was gloriously saved. The best way to influence people for God is to intercede with God for people. You ought to write that down. Maybe I wrote it down for you. I can't remember. The first point I want to bring out, verses 9 through 14, it just simply takes faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Just believe that Jesus is who he is and that we can pray to Jesus and he hears our prayers. Jesus is the catalyst for his gifts being evident in a believer's life. Paul prayed for the Colossian believers, verses 9 to 11. He prayed that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will, that is, wisdom and spiritual understanding. They were to have an admirable character. They were to have moral courage. They were to have personal integrity, that they may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, that they may be fruitful in every good work, that they may increase in the knowledge of God, that they may be strengthened and according to His glorious power, that they may have patience and long-suffering with joy. Yes, this is what Paul prayed for. He prayed for all these areas, that these people would shine, that they would shine for Jesus. None of them had their own personal agenda. Their agenda was for Jesus. Their agenda was for the kingdom of God. You ever ask yourself why you do things that you do in your ministry? You need to do that every day. Why am I doing what I'm doing in my ministry? Is it for me? Is it so I can get the attention? Or is it for the Lord? And of course, the right answer is, it should be for the Lord. We should be hidden. We don't even need to be seen. We should let Jesus be seen. Let Jesus be seen in our life. That's what Paul's saying here in verses 9 through 11. Let Jesus come out in your life. Have a good reputation with people. You know, some people will say, well, I want it my way because I know my way is right, and that's how it's going to be. That's the words of a fool. Because that kind of person's not even listening to God. That kind of person is tuning God out. They don't have a private time with God every day. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. Why should they pray? They can handle it. It's called carnality. It's called the flesh. Paul says in another place that we should walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. It's very easy to slip into the flesh. Verses 12 to 14, Paul said, Paul was also thankful unto God for the believers' blessings. God had blessed them. So he thanked God for this. He thanked God for qualifying them to be partakers of heaven. He calls it the inheritance of the saints in the light. What beautiful language that is. They had become children of God, as John 1:12 says. He had delivered them from the power of darkness and conveyed them into the kingdom of His Son. They were already citizens of heaven. Is everybody in this room today a citizen of heaven? In other words, are you saved? Are you truly saved? Well, yeah, I joined the church. I got baptized. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you have a relationship with Jesus. If you have a relationship with Jesus, your light will shine. Amen? Yeah, your light will shine. They had redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins. Sins, you mean we were sinners? That's right. Every one of us are sinners. The only difference between us and that person going to hell is the fact that the blood of Christ has cleansed us and made us new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The second point, Christ is superior. Without apology, I tell you, Christ is superior. He's more superior than any man or woman. Christ is King. Christ is Lord. No other entity in the universe surpasses Christ. And we must keep Him on the throne of our life. And when He's not on the throne of our life, other people know it. That's right. Other people know it. It's easy to pick out a person who's living in the flesh because they're doing things in their own power. They think they have control. You don't have control, though, because at any minute, God can tell your heart, stop beating, and you'll die. None of us are in control. So why don't we give control to Jesus? Right? Let Him have control. He has our best interests at heart. Jesus loved us even before we became Christians. He died on the cross even before we came to know Him. He died for you and me. We see in verse 15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That means He is the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. I had a good friend of mine this week to call me on the phone asking me another question, but he got on the subject of the Holy Spirit and, well, actually got on the whole, really the subject of the Trinity. And this is a guy who is 1 year younger than I am, and so he's 65 years old, and he has attended church all of his life, and he asked me to explain to him the Trinity. The Trinity. I wanted to say, man, you've been in church longer than I've been in church. Did they not teach you about the Trinity sometime in Sunday school, somewhere? But I didn't do that. I just proceeded to teach him about the Trinity. As much as I know. Because, by the way, that's a pretty heavy subject. I can't explain it all. Just like I there's a lot of other things in Scripture I believe, but I can't explain it all. You can't think you know it all when it comes to the Word of God. Because we continue to learn the Word of God up until the day we go home to be with the Lord. But as to the best of my ability, I gave him a brief synopsis of the teachings of the Trinity. When we think about Jesus Christ, He is the image of the invisible God. When we get to heaven and look at God on the throne, we will see Jesus. Because He was incarnated as the Son of God, and we will worship Him forever and ever. He is the firstborn over all creation. He is that means He is the originator. This earth and this universe was made by God, and Jesus is the originator of all that. It says He created all things, and all things were created through Him and for Him. Folks, I'm trying to tell you, you may think you're a big shot, but you're nothing but a blank. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the head of the church. And whether we live or whether we die, it depends on His will for us. The fact that you were even born in the world depended upon Jesus. He's before all things. In Him all things consist. That means He is the controlling, cohesive force of the universe. Jesus is Lord over all. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is preeminent in all things. Yes, even in the church. We can have our business meetings and vote and have our decisions and all those things. But let me tell you, the true theological picture of a church voting is not like a democratic process. Majority rules. You think that's how it's supposed to work? In the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come together for a vote, we should have prayed about the issue beforehand. We should have prayed to Almighty God and said, on this one issue, Lord, what is your will? And so each one individually, each member and each family comes to know the will of the Lord. The body comes back together. They call for a vote. God's people have heard from God. They say yes or no, according to what God has told them. That's what it means when you vote in a Baptist church. You don't vote your own agenda. You don't vote your own way. You vote what God tells you. And if God's not giving you an answer, I would advise you not to vote. Because there's something wrong there. There's something wrong in the link in your communication with God. If He's not speaking to you, you need to not worry about that vote, but be seeking, Lord, why am I not hearing from you? What have I done to separate myself in fellowship with you? That's what you should be looking for. We pray for people. We intercede on behalf of people. Just this week, in a hospital room in Monroe, Pam Threet was there as a patient. And several of our people had already gone by there and prayed with Pam and asked God for healing. Judy and I were there. While we were there, there were a couple other members. And then even as we left, we saw others coming in. Scott York was coming in. He was going to go see her and pray with her. Many people prayed for Pam this week. The doctors didn't really know what was going on. They kept having different diagnoses. We all prayed, Lord, heal her. Let your grace and your healing power be real. 2:30 Saturday morning, our prayers were answered. Different from what we thought. But they were answered. God told Pam, come home. And now she doesn't have a bad heart. Now she doesn't have all those tubes and lines hooked to her. She's experiencing the glory of God. Folks, that's what church is about. It's not having your own way. It's the complete opposite of that. You and I are to be servants of the Lord. We are to be humble. We are to be seeking ways to serve others. And the best way to serve others is to pray for them. Intercede. Not only for those who have gone the wayward way and are not in unity with the church, but also those who are sick, those who are going through financial problems, whatever it is, to pray for them, to lift them up. If you spend your time interceding the way you need to, you don't have time to get into trouble. That's right. Now, if you're here today and you're living that servant life, I commend you. And I want to encourage you just to keep doing it. And I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment how you can extend that, how you can be more of an intercessory prayer warrior. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. During evangelist Billy Graham's historic 1949 Los Angeles campaign, the big tent that he had would hold over 6,000 people to overflowing, and it was filled almost every night for 8 weeks. Cliff Barrows, who led music for years, tells the story about the big tent that would hold 6,000 or more people. But he said, in addition to that, over to the side was a small tent. And the small tent housed the prayer intercessors. And a local Los Angeles woman by the name of Pearl Good was at the heart of those prayer meetings and many that followed. That successful campaign that really put Billy Graham on the map in 1949, he became a national figure during that time. The great success of that campaign, Cliff Barrows says, was because of those people in that little tent, the intercessors, because they were praying. They were coming up against the gates of hell with prayer and saying, Lord Jesus, save souls. And souls were saved. And Billy Graham launched a ministry that went worldwide. You know the story. I worked with the Billy Graham Crusade when they came to Charlotte. I worked with the Franklin Graham Festival when they came to Tallahassee, Florida. And in both campaigns, 4 years before the event, 4 years before, they gathered with pastors and selected different ones to be in different leadership roles. One of the main things that they filled were intercessory prayer warriors. Go back into your individual churches, enlist intercessory prayer warriors. And those intercessory prayer warriors prayed for 4 years before Franklin Graham ever got to town. If it worked then, why can't it work now? Why can't it work at Lakeview? Anybody who has an idea why it won't work, come up here and tell us. Some people are given the high visibility task of preaching the gospel in the big tent. But God has extended to us all, just as he did to Epaphras and Pearl Good, the great privilege of kneeling in the little tent and bringing others before the throne of God. I want to call for intercessors today. I want to call for prayer intercessors who would come together in unity and pray for the same things, so that we could see this church truly launch out into the deep water where God wants her to be. It must happen. It's crucial that it happens. Could we call 25 intercessors, 50 intercessors, 75, 100? It's up to you. All you have to do is make a commitment. Every day I'm going to pray for Lakeview Baptist Church. You may say, well, I already do that. Well, thank God. Keep doing it. But I have some specific things to ask you to pray for. And if any part of this that I've shared with you, if you go to our website and where you can hear the sermon this week, you can also click on the notes, and a lot of this information will be there in the notes section. But what do we need to be praying for? First and foremost, I believe we must pray for the unsaved, because they are lost in this world and they're headed to hell. Secondly, we must pray for spiritual understanding. Very important. Third, we must pray for the mission of Lakeview Church to go forward. Fourth, we must pray for the general welfare of all believers, not only in Lakeview, but everywhere. And then we must pray for our pastor search committee as they seek God's will regarding our next pastoral leader. The job that our pastoral search committee is a huge task. They would appreciate you praying for that work. Let me ask you one final question. How important is it for the general welfare of our church for you to be a committed prayer warrior? I believe it's very important. I'd love to see the majority of the people in this room respond and say, yes, I'm a prayer warrior, or I am willing to be a prayer warrior. I know there's many of you in here who pray for this church every day, but I want you to recommit yourself to that and realize the urgency that is at hand. Somewhere out there is a pastor that God has called to Lakeview, and our pastoral search committee has the task of just hearing from God to know who that man is. But there's much we need to do here at Lakeview to prepare for that time before it takes place. I think a good place to start is intercessory prayer. Perhaps you'd come over here during the week and walk the halls of this church building and pray individually. There's power in that. Perhaps you would get out around the lawn of the church, around the campus, and just walk around the campus praying for those who would gather in all these buildings each week. Or just being there in your prayer closet and going to war for Jesus Christ against Satan and praying fervently for souls and for people to be discipled and for families to grow and get stronger, because the devil is our adversary. Man is not our adversary, the devil is. And the only defense, true defense we have against him are the Word of God and prayer. So in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar, whether you stand or you kneel or sit in one of these pews up near the front. And let's pray together. And then go out from this place daily, taking your intercessory prayers to the throne of God. And let's wait to see the wonderful difference that's going to make in the body of this church. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your death on the cross. And it's because of that death on the cross we know that we have available to us the weapon of prayer. And Lord, we're coming to you today asking that you lay it on the hearts of your people to continue being intercessory prayer warriors, or to start today in that role. Father, we thank you for what's going to happen as a result of the obedience of your people. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with,
seated for a moment. Thank you. Bill, I have a request. Would you go back in the notes to that slide where the prayer requests are listed? There near the end of the sermon? Yeah, because some of them want to write that down and they didn't have time to get it. So while you have that up there, I want to tell you, I love you. My desire for every person in this room is that you would prosper in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about you getting rich. You're going to go out here, he's like Joel Osteen. He talks about getting rich. I'm not talking about money, but what I'm talking about is just a rich and full life. And that comes through Jesus Christ. And first of all, you have to be saved. But after salvation, you grow. You grow in Christ. And you become more Christ-like as you grow. So that's what I want for you. That's my whole desire. Another great desire I have is for this church to find her spiritual leader. One who is a man of God. One who does not compromise the word. One who will boldly take you forward. And those are the things, first two things, I pray for y'all every day. Before I sleep at night, I'm praying for Lakeview. And I want to see you prosper. Now, as you go out this week, in your homes, at work, wherever you are, wherever you're going to pray, maybe as you're going down the road, just, you know, when you're praying going down the road, don't close your eyes. Very dangerous. But as you pray, pray for Lakeview. And God's going to bless that. I'd like to hear testimonies in the weeks to come of how God's moving in your life because of your own prayer life and intercessory prayer. Okay, I'm going to hand it over to somebody. That one? Okay, yep. Shannon?
Yeah, and just as a reminder that we will have hopefully a short business meeting here in just a few minutes. So I guess probably 10 minutes after we're done, if you'll meet back in here. So if you need to pick up your kids, please do that. So we encourage you to be a part of that time. So let me have a word of prayer for us, and we will be dismissed this morning. Lord God, we just thank you. This has been such a good day to be here together, and we just thank you so much for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, thank you this morning that your word was boldly proclaimed. And Lord, I pray that we will be men and women of prayer, Lord, to you. Lord, knowing that the power does not rely in the prayer that we give to you, Lord, but it is all about plugging into that power source, which is you, Lord. We want your will and your way, and so I pray that you'll speak to us, that you'll show us and give us clear direction on how we are to be personally in our lives and how we are to live every day, but Lord, as a church going forward, to lead us and guide us. So we thank you again, Lord. We're at the beginning of a new week. Use us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.